bringing books to life. Vision without sight.
The Light Watch Chronicles, Book 1, The Guardians, by J. H. Tepley. Episode 1. Produced and dramatised by Be Here. Prologue. All comes from one that is light, and unto one it shall return. Only the sleeping consciousness knows nothing of its nature and true power. Those who have awakened the light within are stars, the silent warriors who turn their mind into a weapon against darkness. They take the hardest path so others can know peace. The unending war is raging across the galaxies between the ruinous powers that seek to destroy this world and forces of the light. The noble defenders who pledge to protect it. The greatest amongst them are the Seven Generals Supreme, known as the Septenary, the legendary great stars in command of the gates of time and space. For eons, they have served their duty, standing unwaveringly against the hordes of darkness, leading their armies to victories and saving millions of star systems from the deadly touch and the soul-warping corruption that the shadow brings. Countless ballads were sung and legends told across space about the valiant feats, the greatness, the wisdom and the divine powers of the Seven Guardians, the likes of which the world has never seen. Time tarnishes the memory of men, though. Over millennia, the records faded, the voices dwindled, and words died upon the lips of the minstrels that perished into oblivion centuries ago. But the changing times call forth the secret fire of forgotten tales. This book is one such spark. It is a story of four young warriors, the Quarter, four minor stars, cadets of combat and spiritual arts, hopeful to join one day the proud ranks of the elite defenders of their homeland, the Kingdom of Lyeri. When, in the 16th year, the date of the trials came, all four took the oath to dedicate their life to service and become Arias, elite warriors who live by the code, sworn to their mission and duty. Like all senior scholars at the Academy, the team was bound by the power of the crystal, a complex energy artifact crafted by the high adepts of Ars Sakaarum, with all the knowledge and magic they had. The arcane masterwork appeared as a lozenge-shaped gemstone when called upon, which gave it its name. Many years took the rigorous drills that gradually altered the cadets, shifting their energy and mind until the crystal had become part of their being. Yet long before their training would be over, one lightless night came. One cursed night when the unspeakable terror flooded all. The Fall. The demon armies of the Shadow burst in, swiping across the planet of Silterion, rupturing, scorching it like a boiling poison. In a matter of hours, the Academy crumbled, drowning in blood, devoured by a hell of smoke and fire. Lyeri fell. Death gaped at the warriors amongst the ashes of their world, grim and certain. Yet the elusive fate had spoken and claimed the Quarter as its own. Since then, all they had known were feverish dreams, the pain of loss and the coldness of foreign lands. After the Fall, it was the crystal that saved their lives. Its power let them breathe the air of alien lands, heal wounds and move across at will, as long as they kept all four shards together. In a world of war, with enemies that like a hailstorm chased their steps, that freedom was the greatest gift. Were they lucky to survive? They could not tell. Life was tough, but it went on, and the quarter tried to make the most of it. They were too young and too well trained to give up.
Adventures are good,
their captain often said, and the team wasn't short of them since their exile. For that, they partly had themselves to blame. Not all their actions were wise, or careful, or well thought through. And yet, uncanny luck seemed to have followed the warriors, as welcome as it was undeserved. It gave the only explanation why all four were still alive despite their reckless fights, the dangers, and the youthful nonsense. But it all changed a few months ago. Chapter 1. Tsere Me Verai. The Trapped Stars. It had been raining from the very morning. Rain trickled down the windows, splashed on the road and drummed on the umbrellas of the passerby. Heavy clouds, ruffled and rushed by the cold wind, sealed the horizon. Nesteri stood by the window, gazing absently at the soaked city below. Despite his youthful face, the peculiar weariness and fire in his eyes gave away a time-tested warrior. Their dwelling in Meguro was exhilaratingly close to the sky. When looking outside, Nesteri felt like a bird might feel, spreading its wings and riding the wind high and higher, the city sparkling beneath. It made him think of Drar, his pet raven and true friend, a faithful companion of his younger years. Nesteri missed him.
They have rotten springs here,
he observed, not talking to anyone in particular. The silver of his hair appeared even more ashen now. Hegel nodded absently, engrossed in his book, pretending he wasn't there. His slender fingers fiddled with the bookmark. The dark green dressing gown over a white shirt made him look typically highborn somehow, even in these foreign clothes. The living room was bright and simple, and almost tidy, save for the pile of crumpled paper on the desk. Tay's domain, one could easily tell.
Yeah,
Tay answered, the only one with dark and short hair. His eyes of deep cobalt blue harboured a faint glow of disquiet. He wore a red shirt, half unbuttoned over his brawny frame, his sleeves messily rolled up. The warrior was strumming a guitar.
You don't want to know what their winters are like.
You're right, I don't.
Worry not, fun awaits you, and soon. That should take your mind off the weather.
Fun, you say?
Nesteri scowled and turned away from the window. His style was ink and watercolours, a black top paired with distressed charcoal jeans.
I hate parties. They are dull and stupid. I wish there was a better way for us to find him.
So do I,
Tay shrugged.
And if you have any bright ideas, genius, do share.
He returned to strumming. The tune blended with the whisper of rain. Nesteri didn't answer. There were no better ways of finding Farian that he could think of. Of the fight, they didn't remember much. A small moon, a plain of rocks and dust, cold with the cold stars above. They stopped there to decide where to go next. Hegel said he had a bad hunch about it. Rightly, but too late. The attack came, fierce and sudden, as ruthless as the shadow would have it. 3-4 wasn't a bad score, but the demonoids weren't going to play fair. Their weapon, the quarter had never seen its kind. The blast that had followed tore the team apart, swallowing everything into the fury of explosion. Burnt and wounded, when they regained their senses, they were only 3. As far as their eyes could see, the green hills of a foreign land stretched around, peaceful. Farian was gone. He was alive, the only thing they knew. Else, his shard of the crystal would return to merge with theirs.
You could talk through the crystal,
their teacher said in passing a long time ago. Oh, how they wished that Master Alsvir could be with them now, or that he could have taught them all he knew before the fall.
Why can't we be great stars?
Tay would jokingly lament on occasion.
I mean, imagine that,
he would add excitedly.
Travel at will, no artifacts, no nothing. Conjure things. How cool would that be?
His gaze would take on a dreamy cast. The winged guardians of light, great stars, were formidable, ancient and wise, and wielded astonishing powers if the legends could be believed. But the Quarter weren't great stars. They were minor stars, and they were trapped. This planet had taught them what being captive really meant. Yet it was Farian's fate that troubled them most. If enemies caught his trail, he wouldn't stand a chance. Alone. The Quarter had to find him first, no matter what. But how? How does one find someone in a foreign world, a world he doesn't belong to? Many long evenings and a tumultuous storm of ideas yielded only one answer. Music.
Music travels fast as a thought,
Nesteri had said.
It could be our messenger.
Perilous,
Hegel had objected cautiously.
I mean, both the demonoids and locals in equal measure. We could risk too much drawing attention to ourselves like that.
Better to risk than to be prisoners here.
Tay had cut him off with the careless brazenness of youth.
Sounds simple enough. It should work. Let's do it.
It was easy indeed. Almost too easy. A last disciple of the legendary bard Demare. Tay certainly knew how to weave songs, and by light he could sing. Nesteri offered his spellbinding wordsmith skills, and a duo was born. Hegel, who shrank from anything public, had found an artful way to remain useful while uninvolved. Writing. His favourite pastime became his shield. He contributed to the lyrics and volunteered, somewhat too eagerly, for the ungrateful task of admin work.
Anything not to be heard singing, huh?
Tay chuckled. Hegel casually ignored Tay's jest. He was sketching a Laerempth. A gold-winged horse, his family crest, in his notebook, and pretended not to have heard. The Quarter's music stirred souls. The magic of their tunes was storms and stardust, not of this world. The videos with the mysterious, handsome singers swept across cyberspace like a forest fire. A nomination for the best new band came within a short couple of months. Unexpected and flattering, it was swathed in a dark veil of danger. Those who shine too brightly attract all sorts of eyes. The Quarter knew that, but there was no other choice. The neon colossus of the city sprawled around the bay like a mythical hydra with multiple heads. Tokyo was unlike anything the Quarter had ever seen before. It throbbed with a dazzling, forceful and alien vibe that contrasted sharply with the gentle and peaceful feel of the land itself. Yet again, the stars were lucky. They weren't the only strangers there. The quirky tapestry of types, the cosmic masquerade on the streets, had readily embraced them as a sea swallows a drop. Nobody cared. Nobody noticed. It was almost as good as being invisible. Other than that, the city was far from kind. The stars' extended perception was nothing short of a curse here. Subtle energy currents, toxic and suffocating like smoke, plagued the place. They oozed from everywhere. Wires in walls, countless generators, tangled snakes of electric lines looming overhead. The subterranean trains in their dark tunnels were the worst. The Quarter had to master driving. Meditation or sleep amongst the electric noise became a real challenge. There wasn't much the warriors could do about it except to seal their flat with energy shields. A simple trick, but it kept off some of the harmful rays. The shields were of no help against another pestilence, though. Small electronic objects, omnipresent here. Hegel tentatively made peace with laptops, but refused to handle phones.
"They give me a headache,"
he had declared.
"Well, there's that, but I've been through worse."
Tay's stance was less barbed, particularly since he had discovered that the small flat boxes, although they burnt his fingertips, could play music.
"Check this out,"
he had said, showing off his playlist, as if Hegel could be convinced. Nesteri's view was different from both. They didn't understand. They didn't see what he could see. Behind the flickering screens there was an endless library. Uncharted. It readily offered him anything this planet had to share. Anything. It was the greatest gift he had come across in any of the worlds they'd seen. He never thought that learning could be just that easy. Nesteri thought back to his academy days, the hours spent in the library vaults rummaging through old volumes and sneezing from the dust. A nostalgic smile briefly touched his lips. He made it his goal to learn as much as he could about the world they found themselves trapped in. He found out about social media and how it worked. It was his efforts that had made the Quarter's message heard. If someone told Tay that Nesteri had a passion of any sort, Tay would laugh in their face. But the unyielding thirst for knowledge could perhaps come close. A phone screen lit up, startlingly bright in the gathering dusk. Nesteri walked to the kitchen table, picked up his mobile and dismissed the pop-up. Tay threw him a questioning glance.
"Just an event reminder,"
Nesteri said, switching the screen off. He tossed the phone in his fingers like a shuriken, pensive for a moment.
"I'm pretty sure they must be on our trail by now,"
he remarked casually. Pale streaks of green light ran up his hand.
"You know what I mean?"
"Yeah."
Tay's mouth tightened.
"That wouldn't surprise me. Look up the floor plans and the exits while you're at it and send me a copy."
"Aye, Captain."
Tay checked the wall clock, a curious neon thing in a metal casing, then stood up, put his guitar aside and stretched. He walked to a clothes rail in the corner, picked up three black zipped covers with rented suits and threw them on the sofa next to Hegel.
"Get ready, team."
Hegel sighed and closed his book. Tay pulled out the cover marked with his name.
"Let's see what we've got here."
He rustled through the layers of plastic. He took out the jacket and the shirt, the cufflinks and the bow tie. He had already looked up how to put them together. The canvas bag revealed a pair of polished shoes.
"Huh, check this out. Pretty neat, actually."
His voice came from the hallway. The sleeves were a bit too short, but the rest seemed fine.
"What?"
Nesteri walked in and scowled at the preening.
"You're enjoying this, aren't you?"
"Well..."
Tay's smirk shrank somewhat.
"I think it does look kind of fit."
Nesteri grimaced.
"Seriously? You know what we're packing ourselves into, right?"
"I bloody well do,"
Tay answered with an annoying nonchalance.
"It could be a trap."
"Possibly, and what of it? It's still an adventure of sorts,"
the captain retorted, fumbling with his bow tie.
"This neck ribbon is lame, though."
Nesteri shrugged and went back to the lounge. He returned in a full suit, jingling the car keys. Hegel was with them.
"Ready?"
"Sure."
Tay ran fingers through his hair and winked at his reflection on the mirror.
"And anyway,"
he added,
"since we're stuck here, we could at least try and enjoy some of it."
He looked over at Nesteri.
"What do you say?" "Nothing, exactly. You know I'm right."
By the time they reached Yokohama, the skies had cleared. The sunset broke through the clouds and scattered gleam on the streets. From the tall hotel's doors stretched a carpeted path, bright red in the last of the daylight, flanked with a swelter of photographers in black. Dense facial hair covered some faces. Still a strange sight, even after all these months. A trickle of people were getting out of their cars and heading to the entrance, stopping and posing as they walked. Long shadows ran on the ground. The warriors stepped into the crowd, hoping to get through it fast and unnoticed, but failed at once.
"It's them!
It's them! Tay!
Nesteri!
We love
you!"
Fans locked them in a ring, jostling and chirping, asking for autographs.
Sign here!
Two girls in pink, a scrawny guy with green hair, a hooded group wearing rags and chains, a young woman in an office suit, all stretched their notebooks out, a whirlpool of hands, phones and eyes.
Please!
The fawning throng pressed close around them.
We have to get out,
Nasteri muttered.
Agreed.
Tay nodded.
Worse than fighting the bloody demonoids, this.
He took a deep breath and tried to push through.
Tay! Sign here!
Here!
New fans barred his way and someone grabbed him by the sleeve.
I want a photo with you, Tay.
All right, that's enough.
A gaunt man in his mid-30s emerged from the crowd, gently but resolutely clearing the way. He wore a black suit with a standing collar that gave him a peculiar air of a security guard and a monk, both at once.
Please, follow me,
he gestured to the quarter. The warriors exchanged glances.
My name is Ito.
The man introduced himself with a slight bow.
I'm here to look after you.
His hair was so sleek and perfect, it appeared fake.
Was anyone supposed to meet us?
Tay asked softly in Silterianese.
Not that I know,
Nasteri replied.
Maybe it's their custom.
Please come with me,
Ito insisted.
Everyone is waiting.
He ushered the quarter to the entrance. The lobby was white and gold and dazzlingly grand, lit by the cold white lamps. Perfume scents mingled in the air, buzzing with talks and whispers.
Could you spare a moment to...
Two journalists jumped up to the quarter, recorders at the ready. People nearby turned their heads.
Just one question.
More reporters hurried close.
One question.
Ito waved them away.
Not now, please. There's no time right now,
he said, resolutely making his way through the congregation.
Our apologies.
A quarter breathed out a sigh of relief.
I'm glad they've organised someone to meet us,
Hegel said.
Very thoughtful indeed.
Ito cut through the hall to the double chrome door at the back. He pushed it open to let the quarter in, escorted them to their seats, showered with courtesies, then bowed and disappeared. The warriors were left to a dull spectacle of announcements. Applauds and speeches, speeches and applauds and more announcements, repetitive like the pendulum swing. Hegel was silent, contemplating with idle curiosity the ridiculously sparkly suit of the presenter. Tay and Nasteri made quiet jokes. After a while, their names were called out. Led by Tay, the squad walked up the stage and stood there side by side, dutifully smiling, half blinded by the spotlight glow.
And welcome,
the presenter roared with unfaded enthusiasm, handing the quarter a square crystal with their band's name in gold.
This award must mean so much. Congratulations again, and here's to the future. Now, your words.
Well, thank you.
Tay said simply, stepping towards the microphone.
We are honoured.
He passed the award over to Nasteri. Nasteri absently turned the square in his hand. Cut facets gleamed with rainbows, bringing to his mind the crystal mountains at sunrise. Tay's elbow snapped him out of his musing.
But of course,
Nasteri added hastily, leaning closer.
A great honour indeed.
The audience cheered, invisible in the shadows. Of Farian, there was no trace. The after-party was as boring as the ceremony itself. Nasteri had declared that he would drive, a neat excuse to refuse the inauspiciously looking drinks served there. Hegel and Tay had quite a bother of watering theirs down. They couldn't afford to lose their presence of mind, not now. Not in a place like this. The slow torment of hours dragged and waned away. It was getting late.
I can't sense him,
Tay said curtly when all three gathered in a corridor by the exit. Suppressed annoyance rang in his voice.
For light's sake, haven't we yet made enough noise?
I can't sense him either,
Nasteri frowned.
Still, shall we split and have another look?
We may just as well,
Hegel said.
Tiring as this is.
A girl in white uniform floated by with a tray of champagne, but Nasteri shook his head.
We're good, thank you.
If Farian were in the room, the star's extended perception would let them know. They would sense his presence, just as he would theirs. Yet all was deftly still. He did not come. Meanwhile, the party raged on, shaking to the rhythm of the convulsing lights and the cacophony of music.
It truly is such a pleasure to meet you in person,
a willowy man in his 40s said, sipping his cocktail. He introduced himself as a music magazine editor. The thick red wooden frame of his glasses matched the colour of his watch.
I would like to arrange an interview at some point when it's convenient.
A younger journalist by his side nodded readily.
My thoughts exactly.
A lady in a silver dress echoed. She waved to the waiter to have her empty champagne flute exchanged. A diamond ring sparkled on her finger.
Our listeners would love to hear from you. Such an achievement. Cheers,
she added, leaning her glass forward for a toast. Nasteri clinked it with his orange juice.
Thank you. We'd be much obliged,
he answered politely, but his mind was elsewhere. He scanned the room again, hoping. At this point, he wasn't even sure what he was hoping for.
What are your plans for the future?
Another man asked. He was short and stubby, with a low voice and dark, piercing eyes.
If you're looking for a new producer, I know someone who...
Tay appeared from behind their backs. He threw a knowing glance and slipped past like a shadow. Nasteri felt a ball of paper pushed into his hand. The warrior made excuses and left the company to their drinks and jokes. Once on his own, he smoothed out the napkin. The creased surface revealed a short line of Lyarian script in Tay's resolute handwriting.
Maeth Averin, Tai Neiro Ende. Let's go back. Meet you outside.
The night breeze was welcomingly fresh. Tay opened the large blue box, took the award out of its silks and stared at it thoughtfully as he walked. Gold letters glistened in the glow of streetlights.
Huh, so it's actually real,
he muttered, his face oddly content despite the dark shroud of angst.
Damare would be proud. Funny feeling, though. Bit weird.
He glanced over at Nasteri, busy on his phone.
What's she doing?
Updating our pages.
Oh, what?
Posting some stats from tonight. A simple thing. Help spread the word. People share photos and such. Then more people see them. That's how it works.
Tay looked at the screen and cringed.
I've never seen so many portraits of me in my whole life. Kind of creepy.
Yeah? Decided then. I'll print all of them and stick them on the walls. You're welcome.
Get off.
You just don't get it. Photos are great. It's like catching the butterflies of time, you know? Any moment you want, you can make it stay forever. I like that.
A vision from a long ago floated through Hegel's mind. The tinkling of the creek and the warmth of sunshine. Blue butterflies fluttering past, sparkling like gemstones. A child that he once was trying to catch them, laughing carelessly, wide-eyed. The breeze whispered in the grass, and the entire world was just meadows and skies. Skies and meadows and flowers and summer, never-ending. The butterflies of time. He sighed and threw Nasteri a sidelong glance.
I wonder how you tolerate that thing burning your fingers. It's so vexing.
Nasteri shrugged.
I guess. Just told myself to ignore that. It's for a greater purpose.
Tay breathed out through his clenched teeth.
Too long. Too bloody long.
He stuck the award back in its box and pressed down the lid.
Light and all gods,
he added more slowly, trying to squelch the exasperation bubbling in him.
If all this noise didn't make him pay attention, I don't know what would. The hell is wrong with him? Tonight, I can't believe he didn't turn up. Lazy arse.
He must be looking for us too,
Nasteri said. He switched off the phone and slid it into his back pocket.
Surely.
That bugs me even more.
Tay furrowed his brow.
It would mean we are bloody useless, all of us.
He shook his head in exasperation. They stopped outside a parking block. Even in daytime, no one would call it pretty. Now, painted by shadows, its drab, grey facade with a single light above the entrance had an unsettling feel about it. Nasteri called the lift.
Be right back.
Shortly later, the central platform wheezed and went down, touching the ground with a soft metal clank. Nasteri drove out and stopped for Tay and Hegel to get in. His sleeves were rolled up, his tie and jacket gone.
Copying my style?
Tay smirked. He threw his jacket on the back seat next to Hegel and ripped off his tie with a sigh of relief.
This ribbon!
He scowled, undoing his collar and flexing his neck.
It's ridiculous. It's something girls should wear.
The night drive back was peaceful, like a meditation. The full moon scattered shimmer on the empty road. Nasteri glanced in the rearview mirror. Hegel gazed fixedly at the darkness outside, dotted with lights flitting past.
Hey, gal, you're all right. You're too quiet, even by your standards.
Hegel wrinkled his forehead. In the cold moonlight, his face appeared drawn and tired.
I've never been known for excessive verbosity, as far as I'm aware,
he replied, undoing his bow tie with the air of resignation.
And what to talk about? I've had enough. This planet drains me. I'm worried about Farian.
Aren't we all?
And I wouldn't mind some sleep. I'm not a night owl like you are.
Or a night raven, rather.
Tay smiled, nodding at Nasteri's left wrist. A small silver raven, a distant memory of Drar, twinkled on his strap leather bracelet.
Night is when the stars come out, or go out,
Nasteri quipped. A stinging sense of danger touched him then, but he pushed it away. Tay chuckled, recalling many a merry night out back in the Academy days.
I can second that.
Very well, but without me, I'm going home.
A corner of Hegel's lips twitched into a faint smile.
Cheer up. I'm sure we'll be out of here soon,
Tay said resolutely.
And this mess is a one-off. He's alive. We will find a way.
Just as he said those words, the road lights blinked. They flashed on and then off again like an old sea lantern in a storm. One more flicker and they all went dead, plunging the highway into blackness. Only the moon shone lonely above, a single eye. Strange tension trembled in the air.
Oh, hello,
Nasteri remarked casually, dropping the speed.
That didn't take long.
Lights and all gods,
Hegel rubbed his face.
The last thing we need.
A dazzling blast hit the road ahead before he finished his sentence. Nasteri threw his arm up over his eyes and slammed on the brakes. The car skidded on the slippery road, tyres screeching.
Damn!
Tay, with his seatbelt loose as always, was thrust towards the windscreen. Even his trained reaction didn't quite stop the close encounter.
For Mrood's sake!
He rubbed his forehead and grumbled something about lame drivers.
I wouldn't call upon the god of death right now,
Nasteri retorted coldly.
Next time, you drive.
He looked down at the space that separated them from crashing into the median barriers. Hardly a hand's width.
Lucky,
he muttered under his breath. His door was blocked, but there was no time to manoeuvre. Tay and Hegel were already outside. Nasteri slung over Tay's seat and jumped out. The captain nodded without a word. They all knew what to do. The night embraced them with coolness and the smell of rain that lingered in the air. The quiet was deceptive. Energy shields already shimmered around. A demonoid's trick. Blasphemous runes oozed dark red against the sky. The quarter were locked in. A thunder of explosion shook the ground. Molten asphalt and metal blasted into the air, thick with the stench of burning. A hole in the road gaped like a fresh wound, widening slowly, collapsing inwards. When the wind cleared the dust, pale moonlight showed two rangy demonoid figures, red-haired Fatial and his companion Nedros. Sallow and blotchy like a stray dog. The attackers divided in an instant, their dark uniforms blending into shadows. The demonoids had been on the quarter's trail for long enough to get their patience strained. Fight after fight brought no result but humiliation and ridicule from their cohorts. Two shadow warriors who couldn't crush a bunch of kids. It was unthinkable how the four youngsters did it, and by what miracle the bastard Light Stars were still alive. But it was time to end this farce once and for all.
Missed! Again, you blind shit-rain toad!
Fatial cursed at Nedros in dark speech.
Shut up, loser. You're no better.
Nedros hissed back. Tay attacked first. Streaks of red fire from his hand flashed across the road. Nedros dodged the blow and struck back at once, singeing Tay's right ear and hair. Dazzling flames clashed and swirled through the gloom, shrouding all in a halo of glow, bewitching and deadly. Those who made combat their way of life should know of loss, enough not to be swayed by it. But fighting without Farian felt odd. Now they were 3 against 2. But what the quarter gained in number, they lacked in experience. Fatial parried attacks from Asteri and Hegel with the air of arrogant nonchalance. He was in no hurry. The demonoid was good, and he knew it. The wound on Hegel's leg proved it too well. Hegel was slowing down. His next mistake could be lethal, Tay realised. As soon as that, he saw Hegel slip on a splash of blood and fall, opening his back to Fatial's blow.
Hegel!
Tay started to run, but Nesteri was faster. He leapt forward, shoving Hegel out of the line of attack. They rolled on the road together and hit the divider with a thump. Tay jerked aside to parry Nedros's blow. Fatial joined him. The double force slowly but mercifully crushed Tay's defence, pushing him to the ground.
Think of something quick,
Tay ordered himself feverishly. Time itself was his enemy now.
The triangle attack.
His teacher's words swam up in his head.
If one of you is missing or wounded, use the triangle.
Tay bit his lip. It might be too late now. Suddenly, Nedros let out a shrieking yell and sunk down, his convulsing hands trying to reach for the horrid burn on his face and chest. Nesteri stepped out of the dark and stood by Tay's side. His face was covered in cuts.
-1.
Fatial turned to his comrade, startled. Crooked, Nedros's fingers twitched one last time and went still. That moment of distraction was enough. Tay threw his hands up, gesturing the triangle. Hegel grabbed onto the divider, pulled himself up and stood upright. A heartbeat later, a threefold energy jolt crashed onto the demonoids in a scorching wave, blasting them out of this realm back to where they came from. The sealing energy shield burst and disintegrated. The battlefield fell silent. Tay took a deep breath and smiled wryly.
Knocked out by such an old trick. Amateurs.
He dusted himself off with little effect. Nesteri snorted.
Not quite the attire for the job, that's for sure.
He grimaced at the blooded rags that were once his shirt.
Hegel, you all right?
I'll live.
Hegel tore off the tattered bottom of his trousers for an improvised bandage. Nesteri studied him briefly.
I'll sort you out when we're back.
Appreciate it, thanks.
Hegel waded towards the car. Tay helped him in.
We must get out of here now.
Aye, Captain.
Nesteri checked the scene, incinerating any blood traces, then hopped back onto the driver's seat.
All clear.
He glanced at the wing mirror, miraculously intact, gestured for Tay to get in and started the engine.
A kingdom for a shower and some sleep.
What about the hole?
Tay nodded at the road ahead. Nesteri popped his head out of the window and paused for a moment, contemplating.
We should be able to jump over if I drive fast enough,
he finally replied.
It's not that big.
You're crazy,
Tay stated with a weary grin, leaning back in his seat.
And I guess sometimes it's a good thing.
Chapter 2. Sayane Seya. Hope against hope. Psst, psst, a fervent whisper came from behind the door. Nesteri reluctantly lifted his eyes from the manuscript. The faded lettering looked hazy and spellbinding in candlelight.
Psst, Neri, I know you're not sleeping.
Nesteri sighed, rolled up the scroll, got up and opened the door.
What?
Farian greeted him with a roguish grin. His lilac eyes were full of mischief.
Tay may need our help. He may desperately need it.
Let me guess.
Yeah, it's past curfew and he's not back. He needs us, his unsung heroes, shrouded in shadows. To the rescue we shall fly.
Farian chuckled.
Or something like that.
Nasteri chuckled.
Sure, one sec.
He put on his boots and walked out to the corridor where Farian was waiting.
Onwards to our immortal glory.
Shh, Farian tittered with a finger across his lips.
We're on a secret mission here.
They snuck down the tower's spiralling staircase, crossed the dark courtyard and hid behind the obelisk stone by the academy's front gate. From there, the light in the porter's window beaconed bright and clear.
We can't use that same trick again,
Nasteri whispered.
He won't buy it.
What then?
Let me think. We have to fetch him out somehow.
Tay is outside the gate. I can sense him.
I know he is.
Nasteri drummed his fingers on the stone.
All right,
he said in a low voice.
Here's the plan. Give me your headband.
What for?
So he doesn't know it's me. Hurry up.
Fine, fine.
Farian undid his headband and handed it over to Nasteri.
Listen here.
Nasteri was unfolding the band and wrapping it around to cover his face.
I'll knock on the door. When the old boar opens, I'll grab his journal and run. No way, he won't give chase. You pinch the keys and let Tay in, yeah?
Neri, you're a genius.
Nasteri smirked.
Working on it.
Farian was about to say something, but suddenly the earth shook and the sky turned into flame. The horror of the fall was upon them again. The fights and the fires, the blackened academy's ruins resounded with the cries of the dying.
Neri, help me!
Farian yelled as a horde of demonoids seized him.
Help me!
Nasteri leapt forward, but there was only darkness. He woke up with a start, heart beating heavily in his chest.
It was a dream,
Nasteri said to himself, trying to calm down.
Just a bad dream.
He rubbed his face. The vision was disturbingly real. It was pouring with rain the next day and the day after too. Alone at the flat, Hegel leant over his notebook sketching. Line by line, once familiar landscapes and mythical beasts came to life under his pencil. Drawing was his therapy. It distracted his mind from the throbbing pain of the wound in his shin and the frustration of being a prisoner in this alien world. He loved art for as long as he could remember. Had he had a say, it would have surely been his path. His family's position had demanded otherwise, though, and duty came before all else. It was a tough choice, but there was some quiet dignity and peace in knowing that he acted right. He wasn't the most prominent of students. Without question, he would never equal Tay or Farian. Still, Hegel strived to do his best. Even now, when there was nobody to make proud anymore. A firm resolve was like an oath to oneself, he believed. Once made, it should be followed through. His warrior training at the academy had taught him many things, and this was one. He must have been sketching for a long time. His fingers started getting numb. Hegel sighed, flexed his hand and stretched. The room was swathed in deepening shadows.
Damned rain.
He'd rather it didn't mirror his mood quite that well.
This curse is as never-ending as our misery here.
The warrior gazed blankly into space, playing with the pencil. His thoughts drifted to Farian again. The silence felt ominous.
He must be alive, since his part of the crystal didn't... light. Why not at least give us a sign, a message?
Days came and faded with no answers. Hegel prayed that they would find far before demonoids did. It had always baffled him why the dark stars wouldn't leave them in peace. You fight someone who has crossed your way, someone who has wronged you or yours. Why bother chasing strangers?
All that ridiculous effort just to hunt us down. What for? What have we done to deserve that for Deregi's sake? Master Elsevier might have known.
Their teacher did know. The quarter's more than fair share of dangers were not because of what they did, but who they were. Light stars. Their very presence weakened the shadow. Just like all Aria warriors, the Quarter stood as silent guardians between the worlds, and, for as long as they existed, the darkness could not pass. It was no wonder that the Shadow vehemently wished them dead. Here, and in other places where they stayed, strange things had started happening since their arrival, in mystifying ways. Serenity and good fortune spread onto those living nearby, a blessing spell. The Quarter would have been quite baffled to find out. Raindrops caught the last of the daylight, quivered and washed it away. Hegel got up from the desk, poured himself a glass of water and stood by the window. His lilac eyes pensive and deep, the energy from his hands transfused into the glass and brightened it with a glint of blue. Tip-tap, tippity-tap, whispered the rain. Hegel turned away. He needed to rest. Standing was still painful. The leathery coldness of the sofa was the only comfort that the dwelling had to offer. The star left his empty glass, sat down and closed his eyes, meditating. A heartbeat later, a shard of glittering light, his fragment of the crystal, appeared in front of him, trembling shine around Hegel with a warm glow. He seemed asleep. His thoughts drifted to times and places far away. The golden dust of memory brought back visions of home, Lyeri, and the luminous gardens around his family's manor shimmered in his mind. Many a happy summer he'd spent there as a child, playing with his parents and sisters. Later, he would have ventured alone with a book or a sketch pad in his hand to get merrily lost amongst the trees, the grass, the streams, drinking in the warm afternoon breeze, heady and ringing with birdsong. Only a dozen miles away lay the capital, Venthmarion, a graceful city of white stone. Engirdled by crystal mountains, Hegel remembered his first trip there, excited and wide-eyed. Dazed by the colours and sounds of the streets, he walked clinging to his mother's hand, a timid 6-year-old. The gemstones in her necklace were green and aquamarine, just like the sky above. Hegel knew he would never see it again. The staggering glass tower of the bookshop reigned over 9 floors, a perfect place to get lost. Without extended perception, finding anyone in that maze would be a quest. Anyone except Tay. The captain would get stuck on the 3rd floor in the music section, predictably, Nesteri had deducted. He took the metal steps that curiously moved by themselves and went down to confirm his guess. He was right. Having sensed Nesteri's presence, Tay raised his head and pulled his headphones off.
What?
Look,
Nesteri said, handing his phone over. Although no groups have claimed responsibility yet, last night's explosion is believed to be a terrorist attack. No casualties have been reported. An investigation continues, the article read. Tay raised his eyebrows.
Creative.
Weird, isn't it?
A smirk touched Nesteri's lips.
Yeah, well, we're lucky they didn't figure it out. We'll be one hell of a drag.
Tay handed the phone back.
Any good?
Nesteri nodded at the album cover displayed on the machine.
It was all right. Something called Reflections. The singer has a cute voice.
She looks like Hegel's older sister.
Good eye. She does a bit, you're right. Funny.
Tay suddenly looked pensive.
Drinks for the road?
Yeah, why not?
The dismal weather didn't shrink the usual queue downstairs, but it didn't matter. A girl in a green aproned uniform floated with menus towards the stars, all smiles. The scent of rain wafted in through the doors.
I know what I'll get,
Nesteri said.
Tay, you should try.
No way.
Tay took the menu, glanced at the pictures of the vile green glop and winced.
You sure?
Affirmative, I'll have a juice.
Where's your sense of adventure?
Nesteri teased him.
Never stop exploring.
Maybe, but not today.
They walked upstairs and took seats by the huge glass wall. It opened to a busy crossing, glistening in the streetlights. Dusk was falling. Shadows, soft at first but deepening with every passing moment, enveloped the city.
The strangest place we've ever seen,
Nesteri uttered, melancholy. watching the scattered beads of umbrellas down below. He held the cup in his hand for a few moments, then took the lid off. Tiny green bubbles covered its surface. Tay gave him an askew look but said nothing. Forbidden memories, uninvited, intruded his mind. Memories of another rain and another planet, of running together with her, holding hands, drenched to the core and laughing.
Damn! Light and all gods, not now!
Tay's mouth set in a hard line. He played with the straw, forcing the vision away before Nesteri might notice. He didn't need to be reminded of how much of a failure he was. To his relief, Nesteri was still looking at the crossing.
That article earlier,
he continued.
It's curious how locals make things up to comfort themselves. I've been noticing it for a while now. They don't tend to stand up against shadow. They just let it spread.
What if they don't know how?
Tay answered, sipping his juice. His face was calm again.
Come to think of it, we haven't met anyone trained in our kind of combat.
True. Hard to imagine they don't have Arya warriors, though.
Surely they must have. Maybe they keep it secret here.
Seems like it. But meeting them would be fun. We could probably learn something.
You think?
There's always an opportunity to learn if you look for it.
Nesteri got up, deftly threw his empty cup in the recycling bin and zipped up his jacket.
I like this word,
he suddenly said out of context.
What word?
Tay frowned at him, confused.
Mo-eru. It's nice, the way it sounds.
Nesteri pointed at the label by the bin that said combustible.
Never thought of it. Your mind works in the weirdest ways.
Paying attention is a good habit.
They left the bookshop, opening their umbrellas to the busy patter of raindrops. The JR station sign across the road shimmered green.
So annoying, this weather.
Nesteri mused idly while waiting for the lights to change.
I wish I could command the rain to stop as our teacher did. Reality is energy, he used to say. All of it. I should have listened properly back then. Still, what if I have a go?
Fueled by curiosity, Nesteri focused and sent a mental impulse as though he were to fight, imagining the sky clearing out. He waited for a moment, then opened his eyes and looked expectantly around. Nothing. The dark curtain of water remained unperturbed.
Meh, I guess it doesn't work that way,
he shrugged.
Never mind.
The warriors walked over the giant crossing, their jackets and umbrellas gilded by the throbbing neon lights. The crowd passed by, nameless, wet and silent. As soon as they entered the station, the rain stopped. It was almost midday, long past their usual exercise time. Nesteri trained alone, his hair up, perfecting movements time and time again. The smooth tatami floor in their bedroom added a level of difficulty he enjoyed. According to Hegel, who kept the record of days, 3 long years had passed since the fall of Silterion, but Nesteri didn't feel their combat skills had progressed much. Academy's training, cut short by the war, would have taken another 4 years to complete.
I wonder what we've missed out on.
A knock on the door snapped him out of his meditative mood.
What's up, Tay?
Stop straining yourself, maniac.
What do you want?
Come, I need your brain.
Nesteri scowled.
Fine, be with you in a bit.
He went through the whole sequence again, then once more, lightning fast, and smirked. Speed felt good. The living room was bathed in the early afternoon sunshine. Tay's broad shoulders in a tight red top towered over his desk, buried under the might of crumpled paper.
Here, some ideas from Hag.
The captain waved at Nesteri with a piece of paper as soon as he walked in.
Sure.
Nesteri stepped closer and took the sheet. He was in his usual grey and black, his hair still dripping wet after the shower.
See what you think.
Nesteri skimmed through the lyrics and rubbed his neck.
Not bad,
he said uncertainly.
Maybe except this part.
Which?
Hegel turned to him. He occupied the sofa with a laptop and a mug of tea.
Our song will bring light onto the starless skies just before we get killed for the fire in our eyes.
Nesteri winced as he read it out.
What kind of a song is that?
He shook his head.
Honestly. Must be the most depressing lines you've ever written. This planet is surely messing you up.
Hegel shrugged. Sunshine hit his sleeve, making it whiter than white.
Hey, it wasn't a jest. Just don't like the idea of, you know, of being killed. I'd rewrite this bit.
Fine with me.
Hegel agreed lightly, returning to his writing.
Do what you want.
Mind if I go grab a tea across the road?
Nasteri stretched on his chair and ruffled his hair.
Yes, I do mind.
Tay frowned.
With the damn creepers on our back.
It'll be fine. It'll take them time to sort themselves out. After that.
We don't know for sure.
Come on. You make it sound like a big deal when it isn't. I'm only going round the corner.
I still don't like it. Not one bit.
Tay grimaced. He paused and crumpled a sheet of paper in a ball.
Take your phone with you.
Nasteri beamed a roguish smile.
Aye, Captain.
He threw his jacket on and snuck out before Tay had changed his mind. The entrance door closed behind him with a clank. The warrior stepped outside, pulling the hood over his face. Not everyone knew their band, but his golden green eyes often attracted more attention than he wished for. A warm breeze whispered of spring and promises. Nasteri took a deep breath. A fleeting feeling of quiet joy washed over him. His escapade was both silly and dangerous, he knew. But the reward, the precious time alone, was worth it. Being around others wore him down. It was as though an invisible wall surrounded him, a spell of solitude. Deep down, he could never truly relate to anyone. Nobody could see into his way of thinking either. Over the years, he made peace with being a stranger wherever he went. There wasn't much that he could do to change it, and after a while, he stopped trying. Being on his own felt less lonely, somehow. As far back as he could remember, even his family had treated him like an unwelcome guest. Polite, but always cold. Not quite the way to raise the only heir, many would say, but Nasteri grew to accept that too. Since childhood, his pet raven Dra had been the only soul he felt close to. Maybe that's why he liked stopping by this little shrine, tucked away in the maze of sleepy streets. It offered peace and some soothing magic he could never quite describe. Rows of white banners, long and narrow, flanked the entrance. The images of a three-legged crow painted on them trembled in the wind as though flapping their wings. The star stepped through the ornate gate, darkened with age. He briefly wondered, not for the first time, what the gold characters inscribed on it meant, but their shape was beyond his ability to decipher. The inner courtyard was filled with dappled sunshine and the rustle of leaves. Nasteri looked around. There was something irresistibly enchanting about the modest simplicity of the statues, the wooden pillars, steps and roofs. They seemed to be silent reminders, sentinels of some other world, the era of virtue and wisdom. They spoke of fearless armies and rulers in golden robes, of sacred rituals and ancient legends. Their tales resounded deep inside Nasteri's heart. They kindled the feeling of comradeship and belonging, as though the unnamed warriors of old reached to him through the centuries and parsecs, welcoming him as their own. As though he wasn't merely a stranger, a rootless wanderer with no place to call home. Not anymore. Not here.
This land has a warrior soul,
he mused, pensively lowering his head.
True warriors always recognise their kind.
He stopped by the Temizuya, a long stone basin by the entrance gate. The water, gurgling out of the bronze dragon's head, was strewn with pale pink blossom. Nasteri picked up a long ladle and took a scoop, respectfully observing the custom everyone here followed. The pleasant coolness of water trickled down his hands, spattering his leather bracelet with a constellation of droplets. Nasteri smiled lightly when he noticed.
I'll take this as a blessing.
The main shrine, framed with a wooden platform, was decorated with a weighty rope of whitened straw festooned with paper streamers. Small roof lamps sparkled golden in the sun, a sublime contrast with the rich green of the trees. The central doors guarded two imposing paper lanterns that bore the image of the crow. Nesteri's curious mind led him to discover that the mysterious bird was called Yatagarasu, or the Eight-Span Crow, and that it served as a divine guide to the legendary first emperor of this realm over 2,000 years ago. Surreal as it was, he liked the warm familiarity of that myth. It reminded him of the Laerian tale of King Ailiu and the silver hawk that showed his army a secret path out of the Ninevian marshes. The distant lore sounded so uncannily close. He lingered, contemplating the hearty twines of the Shiminawa rope. Nesteri doubted that the mysterious raven god of an alien world would be benevolent to him for any reason. Yet, he was hesitant to leave. The sacredness of this place nourished his soul. Finally, he sighed, threw his arm across his chest in the Silterianese manner, bowed, and sprightly walked back onto the street. Annoying Tay would not be clever, particularly now. To his relief, the cafe was almost empty. A youngster with green hair typed frantically in the corner, oblivious, his tired gaze fixed on his laptop screen. Two ladies, older and petite, chattered and tittered by another table, showing each other something in a glossy magazine. Nobody noticed when he came in.
One matcha latte, no sugar, please.
The curious mixture of milk and herbal powder tasted better than one might have thought. Nesteri took the narrow staircase upstairs, sat by his favourite bench table by the window and cupped the mug, thoughtful. As soon as that, a green gleam flowed out of his hands, altering the tea's composition to be safe. The quarter had to do this with all the food and drink here. He remained motionless for a while, absently watching people outside, then took a pen out of his pocket and pulled a few napkins from the white plastic box on his right. Drawing random patterns always helped him organise his thoughts. Farian had been silent for too long. Nesteri started suspecting that he might have ended up somewhere remote, perhaps even on another continent. But where? How long could he survive on his own? What happened if... He didn't permit himself to worry about it. Worry was a waste of energy. Even worse, it meant not being in the moment. For the warrior, a costly mistake.
Stay present with what is. Accept it as it is. Act as if you were waiting for it,
their teacher would say. Nesteri forbade himself to worry, and yet, deadening coldness crept into his thoughts more and more often as days slipped by.
Before we get killed for the fire in our eyes.
He rubbed his face. There was something genuinely disturbing about those words. His gaze wandered down to the napkin strewn with doodles. There was the Academy's crest with a peculiar key-shaped squiggle next to it, his family coat of arms, the seven-point septenary symbol encircled with random Laerian runes, and many more he couldn't even recognise. He frowned, perplexed. He had no memory of drawing those, none whatsoever.
Weird. When? How come I don't remember?
His finger unwittingly traced the septagram. He could swear the emblem lit up at his touch. Blue glow shimmered and waned. Nesteri's eyebrows went up. He shook his head.
I really need more sleep. Confirmed.
He pushed the napkin into his pocket and was about to get up.
What?
His breath caught in his throat. He couldn't move. His legs were paralysed, nailed to the floor by some hell-born force. Startled, he jolted and looked around. A boy of maybe 9 stood to his right, studying him with a mix of curiosity and indifference. His eyes were pupilless and black. The kid wasn't there a moment ago. Nesteri was sure of it.
I was ordered to take you down,
the boy announced, without parting his lips. The big belly hanging over his loincloth didn't seem to belong to a child. Nesteri let out a swishing sigh.
Tay won't like this.
A thought shot through his mind. The enemy was unlike any demonoid he had seen.
What are you?
Only if that's of interest. Now die!
Nesteri felt as if a noose was sharply yanked around his neck. He gasped for air in vain. The world was slowly turning dark. A heartbeat later, a sudden memory from his training flashed before his eyes. A similar drill that Master Alsevier had tirelessly run them through. A long time had passed since, but Nesteri's trained lungs served him well. He focused his energy and sent a merciless circular blast spreading around like a fiery ring. That shattered the binding spell. The demon's burnt face twisted with rage and shock. The Oni snarled. Resistance clearly came as a surprise. His body bulged, new limbs and faces bursting through. The star jerked from his seat, throwing his hand up for a new blow. Yet, before he could strike, the Oni's monstrous figure vanished as unexpectedly as it had appeared. Nesteri frantically checked the room, ready to face more enemies, whatever their number may be. This was no good. He had to let Tay know. Now. He reached for the phone in his back pocket. In the next moment, though, he slowly withdrew his hand. He was alone, he realised. Whoever the enemy was, he didn't return. Thank light for that. Nesteri took a long exhale to calm his heartbeat down.
Friggin' hell. What was that?
Never mind. All thinking later. He checked the room again. All clear.
A lucky escape, I guess.
He eyed the burns on the chairs and tables, and a sting of guilt hit him.
Apologies,
he added in his thoughts. The warrior slunk his mug on the return shelf and swiftly went down before anyone might notice. Once outside, he lingered and fixed his gaze on the young waitress making drinks behind the counter. Busy at the coffee machine, she didn't see him leaving. Perfect. Nesteri focused, then fired a silent command that she had to forget him. Forget that he visited this place, today or ever. He hoped wholeheartedly that it would work. His mental induction skills were only basic, having begun his training less than half a year before the fall. He was better at it than most, he was told, but that didn't add to his confidence.
Light, do make this work.
He touched his ear for good luck. Casually, to avoid attention, he turned and ambled away, pulling his phone out, as a local would do. It was dead. The force of its energy blast earlier had baked the electronics.
Damn, Tay will be mad.
Nesteri tossed the broken phone in his fingers and sighed.
That award thing was an invitation to trouble after all.
His way home was carpeted with fallen cherry blossoms. The fourth month of the year was nearly over. In the gold afternoon light, Shibuya's skyscrapers gleamed with all their might of steel and glass. Colourful crowds bustled in the streets.
Pretty.
Tay nodded at the buildings.
I actually like those crystal towers. Remind me of Marion's Mountains, only smaller.
Hegel grimaced. What a daft thing to say. Nothing here could compare to their lost homeland, ever.
Hold on a sec.
Nesteri turned on the spot as a vending machine caught his eye.
Be right back.
He returned with a grin on his face and a paper cup of matcha latte in his hand.
Feeding your addiction again?
Tay snorted.
You'll turn green before you know it.
Your typical morning look, then. Nothing new.
Get off. I haven't been drunk since the fall. Not once.
Nesteri focused for a moment, transferring his energy into the tea.
A sip? Anyone?
Cheers. Not a fan.
I'm good too.
Hegel replied, somewhat reticently. Nesteri shrugged.
More for me.
Oh, what a delight to see you.
The startled warriors turned their heads. A man was squeezing through the crowd toward them, waving and smiling. His face and his band-collared jacket looked oddly familiar.
I hope you're well,
he asked, walking up.
It's been a little while.
Mr. Ito?
Tay recognised the guard from the eventful night in Yokohama.
It's me indeed. I'm honoured you remember my name.
Ito replied with a slight nod of his head.
What a lucky serendipity that I happen to be on my lunch right now. Do you live around here?
We don't.
Tay responded curtly, taken aback by the somewhat excessive cordiality from a man who was little more than a stranger.
Oh, I see. Well, Shibuya is wonderful for shopping, and for meeting friends too. Speaking of which, I hope you're not too busy right now.
Why?
Nesteri asked cautiously.
I'd love to introduce you to someone, a dear friend of mine. He's about your age. He keeps saying how much he wants to meet you. It seems very important to him.
Tay's gaze hardened.
What does he look like? Is he a foreigner?
No, I mean, yes.
Ito corrected himself hastily, watching the quarter.
Yes, his Japanese is so good that I sometimes forget. He's very much like you.
The warriors traded glances. They had no reason to distrust Ito, but there was something weirdly unsettling about the way he spoke. Something that stunk of deceit. Why would he lie to them, though? They studied Ito again. He seemed a man like any other. Perhaps he was just trying to cover up his shyness and they were reading too much into it.
What's his name?
Tay asked finally. His tone betrayed emotion, and Ito sensed it.
Let that be a surprise.
He smiled mysteriously.
Why didn't you ask him in person? He's at my office right now, only a short walk from here. It will be my pleasure to introduce you.
He paused and gave the warriors an expectant look.
Would you like to follow me?
We need to think about it,
Tay said.
Excuse us while we adjust our plans.
Nesteri answered more politely.
This seems a bit too good to be true,
he added in Laerian.
What if he found Farian like he found us?
I think he's lying,
Nesteri said, sipping his tea.
Why? What would be the point?
Light only knows.
It doesn't feel right for some reason,
Hegel said.
True that,
Tay admitted waveringly.
But we owe it to Far to give it a chance. If his friend is a random local, we just walk away. Can't be much more than that. We lose nothing. Imagine if Far is actually waiting for us there.
Those words worked like a magic spell. Even Hegel's face had brightened up.
I'm in,
he said, almost in unison with Nesteri. Tay studied Ito for another moment.
Please lead the way,
he said in Japanese. Behind the busy road, a warren of sleepy streets spread, walled by the endless buildings in grey and brown. Banners and cables ran on the walls like exotic vines. Just as Ito promised, his office wasn't far. The party passed a row of old bars, closed at daytime, turned a corner and then again until they stopped at a plain, dun building with a metal door. There was no logo and no company name, but Ito confidently stepped forward. He threw a furtive glance across the street, then hurriedly pressed the code lock, opened the door wide and bowed.
After you.
His mouth twitched as he ushered the quarter in.
My friend will be delighted.
The entrance hall was small and bland, with a pair of leather chairs and a metal staircase at the further end. A soft buzzing of the fluorescent lamps was the only sound. Ito gave a surprised frown, as though not seeing something that he had expected.
Mo!
He growled, with sudden anger in his voice.
Yes?
A young man in waiter's garb hurried from the corridor, balancing a tray with champagne. His face was anxious and contrite.
Mozuaki gozaimasen. I terribly apologise. So sorry for keeping you waiting. Welcome.
He offered the drinks. Thin strands of bubbles rushed inside the flutes. Ito shot a dark glare at the waiter, but when he turned back to the quarter, a suave smile was on his lips again.
Please accept these,
he said, offering the flutes.
As a sign of our hospitality.
Don't,
Nesteri whispered quickly in Laerian. Tay nodded and his eyes became very narrow.
We don't drink,
he said brusquely. A blatant lie. He put his flute back on the tray.
Oh, that's a shame,
Ito said with a hint of nervousness.
Perhaps you may change your mind later. Mo, come with us.
Where to?
Tay asked.
To meet my friend, naturally. He's waiting. He already knows. Come, you're expected.
Ito gestured to the quarter as he walked down the staircase.
And there are others who would love to meet you too. Yes, that's right.
He muttered, fidgeting with the metal fire door at the bottom of the stairs. A large number 3 was painted on it in red, beneath the hardly noticeable sign of an inverted triangle with an arrow crossing it.
Rusty old thing. Sorry you have to wait. Oh, there.
The waft of air came with a stench of mould.
I'm not going.
Hegel spoke for the first time. Someone waited downstairs, and their intent was far from amicable. All 3 could sense it.
I'm afraid you'll have to...
Ito began, but in the next moment, Tay shoved him aside, hard, and kicked him in the fist. A blade flashed as it flew out of Ito's hand. The knife hit the floor, slid, and swirled. The ringing of broken glass came right after. Mo swung his tray towards Nasteri's chest. A breath too slow. A heavy strike in the groin sent the waiter down onto the mess of shards, whimpering. As soon as that, steps started clattering towards them from downstairs, growing louder. Tay jumped to the door, slammed it shut, and turned the key. Heavy thumping sounded from the inside.
Who are you and what do you want from us?
Tay barked, locking Ito in a chokehold. Ito didn't answer, and Tay forced him down.
What do you want from us?
He repeated. Hegel knocked Mo unconscious with a knife hand strike, snatched his belt and tied up his hands at the back. The man's hair was dripping with champagne and blood.
We must get out.
Nasteri threw over his shoulder. He was already on the stairs.
Tay?
Will you talk?
Tay snarled, glowering at Ito. He pushed the man around and held his skinny neck with one hand.
Talk!
Mental induction seemed to have finally worked. Ito suddenly slumped under Tay's gaze.
I do what my boss tells me,
he mumbled flatly.
I had orders.
The noise behind the door stopped.
Tay!
Nasteri called. Tay sighed, struck the man senseless and quickly patted his pockets. There was nothing there except a card holder. Tay opened it, took one card out and put the holder back. Finally, he tied Ito up and, in a few large jumps, joined his battle brothers. The entrance door closed softly behind them. They ran to the closest corner, then turned and slowed down to avoid attention. There was another side street and another until the stars came out onto a larger avenue. The attackers didn't give chase, or so it seemed.
How did you know the drinks were spiked?
Tay asked, finally remembering to adjust his shirt.
I was trained as a healer.
Nasteri shrugged, dismissively.
Now show me what you've got.
Ah, yes.
Tay pulled a creased business card out of his back pocket. Progress Inc. Ito Satoshi, Deputy Manager, it said, followed by phone numbers. There was no address. Nasteri reflectively fiddled with the card before handing it back to Tay.
Why would someone like that serve as a simple meet and greet at some music awards? This makes no sense. We must find out who they are.
He scanned the street. People walked past, absent, engrossed in their own lives.
We may be watched. There is a park just over there. Shall we?
Sure.
Tay nodded.
Look, just look, it's them!
An excited young voice suddenly shouted close by.
No way!
Someone else answered.
I'm telling you, it's them!
A group of schoolgirls surrounded the quarter, some squeezing close, the rest frantically taking photos.
Autographs! Autographs, autographs please!
The fans chirped all at once as they swirled around with their phones and notebooks. Attention spread like a fever, drawing new onlookers in. Tay's face tensed.
This is no good,
he muttered, watching the gathering grow.
We must get out. Split. See you in the park.
He ducked and disappeared into the crowd.
Hegel, go left. I'll go right.
Nasteri said, throwing the hood over his face. Somebody caught him by the wrist, but the star deftly freed himself.
Now!
Both vanished, leaving bewilderment behind.
Shinobi?
A confounded girl's voice said. The park welcomed them with a lace of leafy sunlight. White azalea blossoms trembled in the wind, a tranquil bliss of green. It was a stark contrast with the stifling maze of asphalt outside. The stars wandered deeper into the soothing shadows to find a bench away from peopled paths. Nasteri pulled out his new phone, opened the browser search and scrolled, his eyes moving fast between the lines. He frowned.
What?
Tay threw him a curious glance.
We are the sentinels of society, the protectors of rules. We shall not rest until all rebels are subdued. While you work hard to serve your country every day, your enemy is asking questions. He threatens the good order. Beware of the question askers.
Nasteri read out.
What's this twaddle?
Progress, Inc.
Tay frowned incredulously.
What? Was that it?
What do you mean?
How the hell did we threaten their order?
We don't quite fit in,
Nasteri said with a passing smirk.
I guess we've upset their equilibrium somehow.
Doing what?
Breathing,
Nasteri snorted.
Either that, or they took us for someone else.
Tay ruffled his hair.
But they are not demonoids. I don't understand.
Light preservers,
Hegel said wearily.
This planet is even shadier than it appeared at first.
Let's wait till dusk,
Tay told them. A small fountain by the path tinkled with restless glitter. The star contemplated the splashing water for a moment.
If they are on our track, we don't want to bring them home.
Nasteri was still on his phone, reading, thoughtfully biting his lip, mounting disbelief painted on his face. Finally, he switched the screen off and looked into space, his gaze distant.
What's up?
Nothing. Just thinking.
What with?
Shut up.
Come on, don't be shy.
Can tell you if you want, but it may sound odd.
Nasteri tossed the phone in his hand.
Most things you say sound odd. Go on.
It doesn't seem like the whole thing is run by humans,
Nasteri said slowly, looking Tay square in the eye.
Even back at that guy's office. Did you notice the symbol above the door?
Tay shook his head.
What symbol? No, I didn't. Hegel, you?
No. Although the place oozed with the shadow energy, that's true. And it was sealed. Someone there knew how to set up energy shields.
You're right.
Tay snapped his fingers.
It did make me wonder, but I was a bit too busy to think while there.
They don't have photos on their website,
Nasteri continued.
But it all sounds wrong. From what I could make out, their founders might be...
Dark stars.
Tay finished for him. Nasteri nodded.
So it seems.
Sweet.
Hegel rubbed his face.
So they have stationary demonoids here. Excellent, just what we needed.
It's only a guess,
Nasteri said.
But if I'm correct, it would explain a lot.
Hegel leant back on the bench and closed his eyes, trying to push away the horrible thought of Farian being a prisoner somewhere.
I hate this planet,
he muttered bitterly.
I wish I never ended up here.
So do I.
Tay turned to him.
But guess what?
He put his hand on Hegel's shoulder.
You'll never find another Silterian. You know, the past never comes back. Stay focused on the future, brother. We're alive, and that's all that matters.
I know, Tay.
Hegel told him tiredly, without moving his head.
Trust me, I know. It's just... if we had to get stranded... for ages... light and all gods, I wish it could be somewhere else.
With you on that,
Tay replied.
Hey, can't be long now.
Empty words, but he wanted to believe in them.
This is weird like hell and then some,
he said after a pause, changing the subject.
How could they bond with demonoids?
I don't think they've bonded with them,
Nasteri responded.
They might not have had a choice. Ito mumbled something about orders. Besides,
his green eyes flashed.
Have you seen any Arias here? Me neither.
You're right. That didn't cross my mind.
No wonder that dark stars run riot, since there's no one to fight them.
That can't be.
Tay frowned.
Surely they must have.
Before he could finish, Nasteri jerked his head back, scanning the park with a quick and cautious gaze.
Wait.
What?
Tay asked quickly.
I could swear.
Nasteri muttered.
Someone had just been there, watching us. Over there.
The other two looked at where he pointed, checking it with their extended senses, but the park was quiet. On the empty alley, the breeze tossed fallen leaves.
Nearly believed you for a moment.
Tay snorted.
A stupid joke. Bad timing for it, too.
I swear something was there. Or someone. It's gone now. You're too slow.
Too slow to catch up with your paranoia. Look, maniac, relax. If there was anyone nearby, we could both sense it. Hegel?
Hegel shook his head.
The furtive appearance eluded me, I'm afraid.
But there, really?
Nasteri protested one last time, but his voice was uncertain now.
Maybe a trick of the light.
Tay rubbed his face. He suddenly seemed weary.
Locals don't move that fast. Clearly not a demonoid, too. Those bastards never waste time sneaking in bushes. Oh, I know. That's it. And they ran before they catch that stupid bug from you.
Well, Tay, you're living proof that there's naught to fear.
Nesteri gestured back.
You just can't handle my unrivaled genius.
You bet. I couldn't even dream of that rare intelligence of yours.
That cut deep. A shadow darkened Tay's face. He knew exactly what Nesteri meant. The hidden mockery in his voice rang clear. The captain's lips set in a rigid line. He looked away.
I'll let you off. This time.
Be here. Bringing books to life. Vision without sight.